Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss everything Apple for the week that's gone on. We've got a new showtime. We're on Fridays now, back at 4 o'clock, where we originally started all those years ago, with Dr. Appy Mac and Don McAllister and Carl Swagger and Will Green and me. Yeah, back at the old studio, me garage. Oh, those were the days, eh? Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, a fantastic panel. Starting us off, top left, Adam.
Hey,
how you doing, man?
In recovery.
Yeah, you've got turkey sandwiches for the next 2 months.
Yeah,
send us some.
I don't know why we do this. And actually, you know, being Americans, it's pretty much, you know, Thursday.
It's just Thursday, yeah. But did you, so you over it?
Like we pretend like we eat too much on Thanksgiving, but let's be honest.
Did you actually eat too much or not, though?
I kind of did, but you know, it's, yeah, my mother-in-law loves to feed people. You know, she's German, and she that's part of her thing. So it's, you know, eat, and you know how I am. So like, okay.
Oh, Adam, you look so thin.
I don't want her to feel
make
bad.
More with the turkey. Yeah.
You know, and I'm only partially joking when I say, you know, like 5 minutes after we finished the big giant meal. Are everybody ready for pie?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
No. I think Doc's just dialed in. I'll just
oh, cool.
Come online.
But it's good. It's good. Happy holidays. The start of the season. Here we go.
Excellent. Next to him, we got a new boy, Brett Terpstra.
How's it going?
It's all right, mate. Me and Brett have podcasted twice now in 1 week together.
That's crazy.
We did join us Mac Holiday Pick things. I don't know what the show of that title of that is. Mac Voices.
Mac Jury.
Mac Jury Holiday Picks. There we go, yeah. And we did good. We did four each, didn't we? 16 things to waste your money on. And they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got everything. We covered all bases there, dude, didn't we?
I really think we did.
Yeah, we have
everything from yoga mats to microphones.
Go. Yeah, we did everything. How you been, mate? Nice to see you dressed for the occasion today.
I wore a shirt, so yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel honored.
And pants, but you can't tell. And I even trimmed my beard just for you.
Dude.
I did not eat too much, but I did eat enough turkey to go into tryptophan coma last night, so.
Okay. Cool. Well, bad luck, mate, but at least you're okay. Not hungover, then?
No. Nope.
Your body's still a temple?
Sure.
Good. And next to him, it's Patrice. He's in the studio. We've got a German invader.
Yeah, I have finally invaded the UK. My trip through Europe is done now.
Further than all your mates got, mate.
That's true.
Kudos indeed.
No, I really, wow. I mean, really great that I...
Wow, Adam's gone, wow, like that's really offensive. And we're going to get emails and yeah. I'm going to go, you do yeah. realize I didn't mean it, yeah?
No, it's a just,
joke.
Just a joke. No, I've been in London the last couple of days and I came up to Birmingham yesterday. We really had a great day today, by the way.
Oh, steady on.
So far.
Well, it was a bit of a non-event, really. I took you to a German market.
Well, German market, the new Apple store. We went to a park. So it was
I took you to a German market and stuffed the bratwurst in your hand. I mean, it's busman's holiday, really, wasn't it? To be fair, though, mate, we did have quite a good time.
Yeah, we did. And the bratwurst was good. So,
what have we done today, mate? What have we clocked up for you? Milestone.
Another Apple store,
not
number
just,
10.
Number 10, number there we 10. Go, 10th yeah. Apple store. Yeah. Big one, though. So, I took a picture for you guys so you can see it. It's in the old Midland Hotel. So this used to be a hotel.
Apple store.
No, it was the Midland Hotel before it was Waterston's, mate.
No, Midland Hotel's next door.
All right, then maybe it's not. I said it was the Old Midland Hotel, and the guy in the shop said it was.
No, it wasn't. The Midland Hotel.
No, he said it was.
There. He said it was, yeah. See? Yeah.
It was a bookstore.
Yeah, doesn't matter. I mean, great building, definitely. I'm missing the trees. I like the setup of the new stores. I want a tree in there.
I want to know though, what's this trend with putting bed sheets out as flags? Because yeah. We took the piss out of Google the other week on the Big Show for doing it.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, Apple's got a bloody bed sheet out the front.
It's Tim's bed sheets.
As a
pen. He uses them once, and then they are hung. Up on
oh,
the
you
stores.
Don't think.
Who knows?
That's where they put the logo on the wet patch. Adam's thinking, God, the emails that they're going to get.
Yeah.
Now then, I did go in there and I did have a go with the new MacBook Pros with the touch bar. And I do like the keyboard.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know what everyone's going on about. I absolutely adore the keyboard.
I
even
thought
on the
it was good
inch.
Too. It's at our store they had that keyboard next to the MacBook one, and it's vastly improved from the MacBook one for sure.
Tell me why.
I love.
I haven't tried it. Just tell me why.
So everyone goes on about the short travel being a problem, but right. Actually, I quite like that. The keys, they just leap out at me. They're bigger.
Yeah.
They're much, much bigger.
Yeah.
You don't feel as under pressure to hit them. My typing was definitely faster on them.
Mm.
And a lot more accurate as well.
Yeah. They feel to me like they spring back much quicker and they just feel much firmer.
Yeah.
And it just feels good to me. Yeah. I like it.
Snappy,
and I'm not a big fan of the short travel, I think, as much as you are, Ewan, but it didn't seem to bother me as much
as it
did with that original one.
It sure feels different, and I think that's what for a lot of people, I mean, initially might be the problem, but I'm pretty sure, I mean, within a couple of minutes, I would be totally used to it. I definitely like the bigger keys. I mean, I have big fingers, and I just... I need the bigger keys, so I'm pretty sure I will definitely get used to it. And I have to say, I like the touch bar. I mean, it's not perfect in every app, and I'm sure there is something to improve. But overall, it's actually a pretty good idea.
I just want to interject here because we've had a review this week. Thanks to those people who do write reviews, it makes a world of difference to us. Fnuff put one in saying it makes a great difference to my commute. This is good show, well worth a listen. Apple fanboys occasionally being slapped down by the hosts. Left field comments from Will Green, and God knows what that I've missed that. Though, please no more Apple Watch stories. And we've had another one from someone, Nick Ashley. He's put, great show. Listen every week. Highlights include Adam, always professional. Ewan, often provocative and a strong anchor. Thanks very much. There's someone actually spelled anchor differently in another review that's coming up in the Big Show tonight with a W. Doc Rock, great non-UK perspective. And Patrice, great European viewpoint. I'll generally prioritise listening to this podcast over the tech podcast. The sum of the presenters is really great and the individual contributions and the occasional conflict add spice. But... Please, and I think you know what it is already. Be more positive about some of the great things that Apple does. God knows Apple have been inviting criticism in recent months, but must try to resist the temptation. I know that the reason for some of the negative views is wider feeling in the community that Apple have become too corporate, fashion, money-centric, all valid points. So it's like, but the products are still on the whole pretty awesome. Keep up on the whole. but it's just like, yeah, okay, look, I know they're crap at the moment, but still be positive, will you? But the thing is that gets me, and I've had a couple of comments like this. The night of the launch, I raved about the touch bar, didn't I? I said I thought that was really, I didn't think it was in the right location, but it's really inventive. Now I've used it. There's a couple of, I'm a bit less enamoured with it now I've used it.
Uh-oh.
No. It's just some stuff worked brilliantly. But
right.
So like scanning through the photos in the photos app was great, but then I found it hard to get back to the photo that I wanted. But then that was because I wasn't familiar with all the photos that were in front of me because they're Apple's photos, not mine. Mm-hmm. So that might be part of it. But it's like you don't remember the sequence that they went past you in because they're too quick. So it's hard to go back to where you think you were. And also in Final Cut, I guarantee you whoever came up with that was not a regular video editor. Because I want to scroll backwards and forwards where the playhead is. I don't want to scroll backwards and forwards based on the window that they want me to move around.
Mm.
And it was like you press space and then it would go back to where the playhead was. It wouldn't go to where you'd scrolled. And I just thought, that's crap.
Yeah, that's crap.
This is where my comment about the fact that the touch bar, its success or failure is going to come down to the implementations that are done by developers.
Yeah.
It really is a developer-driven thing. You know, it's cool technology and all that stuff, but when you step away from it, it's really going to matter how it's implemented, in what ways, and Apple needs to make sure that they stay on top of working with developers, and also taking, in the case of something like Final Cut, Ewan, I think taking feedback from the community, like you're commenting on, and listening to that and understanding, okay, these are the workflows that we care about and how we think the touch bar is going to help enhance those workflows, because that's really what that tool is about. It's about enhancing the workflows in those various apps. So, you know, it's really a developer thing. And, you know, Brett, you can probably
comment. Well, yeah, it totally is. And apps can improve way more easily than a hardware release.
Yeah.
You know, like you can send out an app update, improve your touch bar, no problem. It's, I feel like the early reviews, if you're basing them on actual app integration, it might be a bit too early for people to have figured out really how to effectively use the new hardware.
Yeah.
No, it's like, you know, whenever you pick something up, there's always a first impression, isn't there? That's the point. And
You
know, I looked at the first impression that I got from watching the keynote, and I was like, well, that's innovative. I've criticized Apple for not being innovative. That's a leap forwards. Well done, chaps. Pat on the back. I don't think you put it in the right location ergonomically, because it's a primary interface device, and it should be, and it's in a secondary interface location. But that's going to come. We'll figure that out. We'll replace the space bar or something like that, maybe. But now I've used it was kind of like, oh, okay, but that feels very alien to me, and there wasn't an awful lot that felt intuitive about it. So if you want to pick some up, what keeps a product great is when people lock onto it quickly, I think.
I mean, for me, the touch bar, I mean, I tried Final Cut. That was one of the apps I wanted to try and wanted to see how it works. And I mean, the playhead thing, Ewan is definitely right. I mean, the moving around the window is something I do quite a lot. And I felt it was way faster to do it with a touch bar than with a trackpad, which is definitely a plus. The playhead, I mean, the only thing I could say is maybe there is a way to do it. And we simply just didn't discover it. But then... It was bad interactive design or interaction design, because then it wasn't really intuitive how to do it. Maybe you have to tap twice or something crazy
We couldn't get the playhead.
We couldn't get it to work. So if it's possible, I don't know. I mean, we only had a couple of minutes. Then it's bad design.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, the predictive text, I don't see myself using that, because I'm way faster typing the words than going away from the keyboard, seeing the word, tapping it, and going back. I mean, compared to iOS, where it sometimes is faster because you're already basically touching, it's a software keyboard, so you're already close to the predictive text, so it's easy. But with a Mac keyboard, it is different. It is like Ewan said, a secondary row.
Mm. That's to me, the little bit of that is the plane of existence thing that I've talked about too, with touch on a laptop versus touch on your iOS device. With your iOS device, the keyboard and the predictive text stuff is in the same plane as the stuff that you're typing on the screen. So you're looking directly at it, whether you want to be or not. For a lot of people, especially people who touch type, you're not looking down at the keyboard per se as you're typing something out. So it actually takes longer to look down and see that predictive text. And, you know, so again, that's kind of a UI thing. It's almost like if you're going to do the predictive words, they should almost be up on the screen or near where you're typing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, very few people are going to look down to see those if, you know, that's how they type. So.
Well, one of the things that I did, which I found quite interesting, and I caught myself doing this, you know, and I don't feel stupid having to admit this, but I'm using the, so I'm in Photos, I'm scrolling backwards and forwards through the photos, I find the photo that I want to edit on the scroll bar, I think, oh, that's great. And then I see it, and I look on the screen, and I see the little sliders for doing editing, and without thinking, I reach up, I touch the button on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep.
And it was just like, that for me, we've all been going on about touchscreens. Touchscreens, why haven't they gone for touchscreen? And that's what really crystallized it for me. I slid around with this great little thing on the front, and I immediately went up and touched the screen because I wanted to touch the screen to invoke that. I didn't want to go back down to the trackpad and do it.
Yeah.
And that, I really think they missed a trick there. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Echo.
I'm in a toilet. I've got into Harry Potter's toilet.
It's gone off now.
Has it gone?
So,
can you hear me?
I can hear now. I lost audio for a good 10 seconds, so I have no idea what's happening right now.
Can everyone hear me and can everyone hear each other?
I can.
I can hear you.
Yep, I can hear you now.
Yeah.
Something got pressed. I'll edit that bit out.
Yeah, do we need to back up? Or did...
No, so who was talking?
You were talking.
Oh, well, that's pointless then.
I think I'm getting echo now back in my headphones. I don't know if anybody else is.
No, mine sound good.
No, they're good now.
Are you getting back now? Is it gone?
Let me see. It's gone now.
Yeah, see, so it just does that. I don't know why it does that. Slick as ever. Brett was sitting on going, oh man, your setup sounds awesome earlier, and now he's sitting there going, twat.
We have other words in the US.
Yeah, wanker. What was I saying then? It obviously wasn't worth saying. I like the keyboard.
You were talking about
I touched the screen.
The missing the trick with the touchscreen.
Yeah, no, yep. I just, it was just instantly, I wanted to go up and touch it. I just couldn't stop myself.
So are you, do you want them to make a Surface Pro?
Yes.
Like, is that what you're saying? You want Macs to become touch devices?
No, well, I think, you know, there's a really good point that Andy Anatko makes that you know, you get an iPad, it looks beautiful and crystally clean, and then you use it for 2 minutes and it looks like you've just given birth to it. And he's dead right. And I don't know that I want my MacBook to have that effect on it. But the thing was, the undeniable fact was, I'm sitting using a touchscreen and I couldn't stop myself. My hand was up before I realized how stupid I was being.
Yeah, I think that...
Yeah, there's a disconnect there.
Yeah.
I mean, the if you want a touchscreen device, then that is iOS and that is the iPad Pro. It is an operating system that is from the ground up designed to be touch. If you try to do that with Mac OS, it will fail. I mean, even Microsoft is still struggling with it. And I mean, they're probably better than anybody else at doing it, but it still isn't good. What I want actually is just have a touch screen as instead of the keyboard. So it's still the same plane. You can have the same buttons the same keys really. But it can change, so you can have custom controls, you can have keyboards in different languages, all of that. Just do that. I think that would be better than having...
I don't know.
I'm chuckling because I understand where you're coming from with that, but you know, it's sort of like we just had the conversation about the low travel keyboard, and can you imagine
the screen?
What the community
keyboards
would do if the whole, you know, keyboard surface on the notebook was, I think it's moving in that direction.
Yeah.
And we may get there, but you know, when you say I'm going to be typing on a screen and there's no, you know, other thing, even if they get good at the haptic feedback, you know, at the haptic feedback, there's going to be a lot of people that would not be happy with typing on, you know, a solid surface on their, on their notebook.
I've just got a message
be right about that now.
Do you think Mac OS is doomed?
No.
Given you said it's moving in that direction, we all agreed there are, you know, incongruities between iOS and Mac as far as input devices. I kind of feel like everyone's subtly saying they want more integration, which to me, as was stated before, you say iOS was built from the ground up for touch. And if Macs are moving towards touch, is Mac OS going to exist in 10 years?
Who could say that there isn't going to be a single OS? By the way, just Hobbs is saying in the Slack room that he agreed he did exactly the same thing as me, reached up and touched the screen to try and get.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I do that now too, though. But I have an iPad.
I don't even
Pro
have a touch bar, and I do that all the time.
There's a certain point. I mean, they're both running the same architecture, aren't they? So the transfer it's only a graphical user interface.
Yeah,
to some degree.
To a certain degree, yes.
Yeah. Providing you've got the touch-enabled screen. If you're then looking at the way iOS is laid out compared to the way that macOS is laid out, I think you're in a different realm then, because you're not. There is no keyboard, there is no mouse with an iPad, so you have to have a button to start something, whereas you don't really need that necessarily with a MacBook that's got a screen, a touchpad, and a touch screen as well as where you can move stuff around. I don't want to lose the touchpad equally, because I like the two-finger scrolly type stuff. And, you know, I don't want to be dependent on touching the screen constantly. I don't mind it for dabs and stuff like that when I want to position a cursor or when I want to do something just to start and open up a submenu. And if it was just dabbing on the screen, then that would be fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because then you can start thinking about where the interface points are in your location. So you've only got one strip down the right-hand side that looks like you've given birth to it.
I think the question is more, will we have mouse and keyboards in the future, or do we want them? It's not about macOS or iOS.
To be clear, I would seriously mourn the loss of my keyboard, and I would seriously mourn the loss of macOS. I'm not saying that would be a good future, but there are incongruities that are going to be solved one way or another.
Here's the way I see it, and I think, you know, Tim, or was it Steve's comment about trucks, you know, as goofy as that was, I think we're in this weird transition period where there's becoming a separation. And the reason why the idea of macOS going away is scary for us is because we're in the group that occasionally needs the truck, right? But there is a growing segment of the computing world that doesn't. They're on iOS devices, they're on their smartphones, and that group is getting bigger, and the applications that that group can use without the need for a mouse and keyboard is also growing. And so, you know, when you start looking at the future of VR and AR and voice interfaces, and there's a whole future where the screens go away and the input devices become something else. They become voice, they become these other things. And I think we are moving toward that future for a large segment of the computing world. And I think Apple's playing around with what that future looks like. They're thinking about what that looks like. So they're beyond, I think, even, you know, touch screens at this point in a large part of their thinking. But there's a whole group of applications. Let me just finish this out. There's a whole group of applications, and there's a whole group of use cases that are going to need a mouse and a keyboard or a that kind of input for a long, long time. Like, you're not going to do heavy video editing, I don't think, in the next 10 years with your voice. Maybe longer than that. I don't know if these sorts of interfaces take off, but you're still going to need that. Or programming, you know, like, I can't even imagine trying to code without a mouse and a keyboard. Right. So those are truck applications. So I might have a pickup truck that I need, you know, when I'm doing yard work, my daily driving car is maybe not that pickup truck.
Programming might actually be possible just with voice, because, I mean, that is,
I wouldn't
text.
Want to.
That's a different. I'm that's a different.
Voice is cumbersome. Point. Anything like spatial movement is taxing compared to fingers moving on a keyboard. I've tried all kinds of, you know, crazy input methods, but
you can see doing your email and your texting and your social media and all of these sorts of things maybe without a keyboard or a mouse, right? I mean, I can see that coming pretty quick.
I can see that future as long as Siri's not the one doing it.
Well, again, you know, but we're talking about, you know, the glasses thing and people walking around with some sort of AR headset thing, you know, I don't know, but You get my point. So I don't think that Mac OS is going away in the next 10 years. Mm. It's going to be there, but it is going to be like the pickup truck in the driveway that you use every third weekend to do yard work. You know, it's going to become less of the daily driver. Mm. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing happening in terms of what's being developed right now and what, you know, everybody's looking at, Microsoft and Apple and all these things. But I think that's also firmly why Apple doesn't believe like building this hybrid, you know, Subaru Brat kind of device where it's a car and a pickup. It doesn't work.
I do agree with that. But I think the other thing to think about with you know, thinking about voice as an interface is the number of times when you've got someone who's on the end of the phone who you're trying to explain something to. And I'm not talking your mother here, who's 81 and says the computer just did it. It wasn't me, Ewan. We're talking about customers who are 10 years younger than me and me going, okay, so open up the package. Yet, see on the left-hand side, there's a column there. Yeah, it's titled so-and-so. And they go, no, can't see it. And you think, well, if I can't do that to a person who's actually reasonably tech-savvy, who can't grasp where that thing is or says, right, open it up in the browser. Okay, now paste the link. You know, and you can't explain that to another person who's got some chance. If you then think about changing that and explaining it, so Siri, you know, move the playhead 10 points to the right. No, the other right. You know, you can see that coming, can't you?
Well,
it's AI getting smarter. We're not talking about the clunky, awkward interfaces that we have right now.
About. If you're talking about input in terms of a keystroke, a character, a letter, a word, that kind of stuff. Voice is good. When it gets to spatial recognition of where you want something positioned, you've then got to start into pixel references and stuff like
there I have to disagree, because I think the input there simply changes. Instead of saying move the cursor 3 characters to the right and insert a W, you simply say, hey, replace that word with that other word. Things like that. So you simply change the way you input it, and then it works.
That's a character input. That's a completely different thing than trying to place something spatially in Photoshop or in a timeline on Final Cut.
Well, but you could say, position it so that it is in line with this other object, for example. You could do that.
That takes so much longer than touching a touchpad, though.
Yeah, right. No, I'm sat opposite you, and I don't understand. I can touch my finger on the screen. Is that all right? Yeah, all right. We'll do that instead. Stuff it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just challenging you to think about different forms of input. I agree with you that I think mouse and keyboard and touchpads will exist for at least a long time. I don't know how long.
Eye tracking. What about eye tracking?
Right.
That's good at the minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of valid technologies that are going to change the way we do computing. But again, I think there's always going to be that tool that is only works for certain kinds of things. Mm. That's my only point. And again, I kind of feel with everything that Apple says publicly that this is sort of the path that they're moving down. And it seems to be different than the path that a lot of their competitors are. And they're taking a lot of heat and a lot of flack for it. But I think it's probably the right path, just based on
they always take heat and flack.
Yeah,
they do.
Yep.
But they never follow the industry, and eventually the industry follows them. So,
right.
Moving on swiftly. Go on. Sorry.
Can I jump back to the present and tell you what's killing me about all the new keyboards from Apple?
Go on then.
Because of carpal tunnel, I don't have feeling in the fingertips of my right hand, and they've changed the arrow keypad so that the left and right are full height, and then the middle you have to be able to differentiate by the division between the up and down keys. I can't feel that division. I can't use those keyboards because without arrow keys, most of what I do is kind of fruitless.
That's weird. I don't know why they made that decision.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Space. But it's only Brett that's struggling.
But the space was there on the older keyboards. Yeah. That's just empty space.
I think the space is
even
the same.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out.
I haven't got a keyboard. I just need to get that off my chest. Thank you.
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you'll have to file down the top half of each one of those.
Well, I had considered. Or just add like a very rough texture to the top key. Mm. That I could probably feel.
See, but Apple not considering blind people with carpal tunnel syndrome yet again.
Right. God. Yeah.
Bastards.
It's just I thought it was a weird choice because, you know, yeah. At one point they were all full height and then we went to this all half height thing and now we're at this weird hybrid.
What's really weird to me is that I believe that it was Sony or Asus, someone else had that design of the key, the arrow keys first, and Apple followed somebody into what I consider a misinformed design decision. Who knows? Okay.
Yeah, either that or Johnny Ive simply didn't like the way they looked.
Yeah, there's holes, there's holes
an aesthetic
in the keyboard
or an
layout.
Aesthetic change.
Yeah.
Was there any more stories this week? Oh yeah, Johnny Ive is not detached. While we're on the subject, because Johnny Ive stood behind you, didn't he yesterday?
Yeah, yes. Well, no, on.
No, yeah, yesterday.
No,
yeah.
No, not yesterday. On Wednesday.
Okay, Wednesday.
On Wednesday, yeah. I was in the Regent Street store checking out the new MacBook with the Touch Bar, and he stood behind me. Just for a minute. I mean, he didn't left, and I didn't
Did
even...
Did you check your pockets afterwards?
No, I didn't. No, no I didn't. No, but, I mean, no, I think most people didn't even notice. There was no crowd or nothing.
Yeah, but then that tenor was gone. Yeah, see? Johnny Ive is said to be connected to product design as ever, following speculation about his role. Over the last few days, speculation has begun brewing over the potential winding down of Johnny Ive's Apple. The place will fall down. It's like the Rooks leaving the Tower of London, where he works as company chief design officer. Discuss. Is Johnny going?
No.
Has Angela got Johnny out?
No. I'm pretty sure that
he's
I mean
to Microsoft. What on earth?
I mean, how long has he been at Apple now? 20 years?
I'm trying to scan through the story looking for a number. Yeah. Can't see one.
I mean, he was there in 97. So it's definitely more than 20 years.
He did wasn't one of his first products the TAM? The 20th anniversary edition Mac?
It might be.
Might be. I don't know.
Your line's gone all wobbly, mate. Are you downloading porn again?
Uh-oh, no.
Yeah, but I mean, I could understand if at some point he simply just wants to do something else, or I mean, in his case, even do nothing, or just do whatever he is interested in, and not be at Apple. I could understand that. So, it is possible. On the other hand, I mean, it's probably, I mean, right now he's at the place where he can do whatever he wants. I'm pretty sure that, I mean, we've heard that Steve set up Apple in a way that Johnny can do whatever he wants. Whether that's good or bad, different story. But, so I don't know.
92.
92, so yeah, very good.
20, almost 25 years. Hmm. I think that's a long time.
There's a thing started with Gruber, apparently, but I don't know if Gruber started the rumor or not. But I can't read that fast. Ivy's not going anywhere because his arguments state that designer is leaving Apple must argue that he's also giving up design entirely.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't do that. Once a designer, always a designer.
Yeah. That's. I mean, maybe when he's in his 60s or 70s, he might eventually say, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. The new iPhone will be an all-glass thing.
Powered by a nuclear device.
It's a concept device. There's clearly a concept device because there's no joins. It's all stuck together, apparently. It's a Corning Glass, Gorilla Glass 23. And it's iPhones feature all-glass casing in order to support wireless charging.
Or polycarbonate.
Polycarbonate, yes. Are you just trying to get on the Mac show because I won't let you on?
Definitely not ceramics.
Yeah, no. Are we going to get an up-to-the-edge display, you think? Because that's a realistic possibility, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
No? No one else wants to talk about that?
I think
I'm dealing with my connection.
You've got a bad connection.
Well, I sent you. It's not me.
That's all right. You can hear me, though, can't you?
Yeah.
That's all right, so carry on talking. Don't worry. We can still hear you. So go on, Brett. Start us off, mate.
I absolutely think edge-to-edge display is happening. I can't imagine Apple's next iteration not being edge-to-edge. It's kind of... I mean, there are touch issues to me. Like, I haven't had enough trouble accidentally touching things and hitting buttons, and the closer to the edge you get, the more intense that's going to become. But as far as display and movie watching and game playing, yeah, that'll happen.
Definitely. Adam?
Well, the rumor is that it's not going to have touch sensitivity on the edges, right?
And that makes sense to me, yeah.
That it's a 5.8-inch display, yet it's a 5.2-inch active area is kind of where the rumor is sitting. And I don't know what they plan, if it's purely they're going to use the outer edge for informational stuff or just for decoration, or that's not really clear what the intent is there. But I could see it being just informational sort of on the outer edges so you can display extra stuff.
If notifications could come in but yeah. not be
touchable,
you wouldn't accidentally hit them?
Yes, seconded.
But wouldn't that break one of the fundamentals of iOS that you can basically touch everything and interact with it?
Yeah, but we're happy if it doesn't. That's okay. we can have that opinion if we want. Or we've been told we can't have that opinion now.
No, you can definitely have that opinion. I'm just asking.
I mean, you also, especially if it's OLED, right, you cannot light up the middle of the screen. You could just light up the edge and mm-hmm. basically display information, display notification. That would ostensibly improve battery life too, right?
Yep.
That'd be good. That'd be really good. Phil has said, and I quote, the MacBook Pro uses 16 gig of very fast LPDDR memory up to 2133 megahertz to support 32 gig of RAM would require DDR memory that is not low power and also require a different design of the logic board, which might reduce space for batteries. Both factors would reduce battery life. Because everyone's complaining that they haven't got 32 gig in the new MacBook.
And they already put in less battery.
Well, there's someone the other day we were talking about this, and yeah, there was a comment about which I think I followed up on about the flight limitations on battery power, which I thought they were at the limit for, and they're not. They're more than half under that. So there is you can double the battery in the current MacBook Pro, and it will still be legal to fly. So
but it will be heavier.
In the teardown, there's like 20%, 20 some percent less battery actually in that new design.
Yeah. I mean what Phil also said is that the next generation low power DDR, so LPDDR4?
LPDDR right. Yeah. is this one. 4 goes with the Kaby Lake processor, doesn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly. Next year. Will only be available next year.
Yeah, the whole timing on the launch of this notebook from the perspective of the technology that they had available to them. Again, I think they built the best machine that they could for the time. And I think just because of how long it had been, they felt like they had to get a machine out this year. But it almost feels like they really should have waited until, you know, the first quarter of next year. But I think the community would have been, you know, in Cupertino with the torches and pitchforks.
The issue is the Kaby Lake, I mean, is supposed to be out by this time next year. So they would have needed to wait another year.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing as well is whether the touchpad was leaked maybe internally, whether there was a bit of espionage going on and they thought it was imminent that it might end up in another device. So they thought they needed to get it out there.
So the question for me becomes when the new stuff becomes available. I thought it was going to be in the first quarter next year, Patrice. No,
I've heard that it's late next year, somewhere in the summer, late summer, early fall.
Yeah, if they did an update early first half of next year, how upset are people going to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have already
just a processor bump and a tech bump, I think they could do.
Just look at what I mean, how people are complaining about the iMacs and the Mac Mini and the Mac Pro not being updated. If they had waited another year, it would have been worse. So I think, they did the best they could, given what
I think we're going to see a spec bump on the MacBook Pro in the first half of next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's assuming Apple had to release something. So if you're saying Apple had to release something in September, this was the best they could possibly do.
Yeah.
This is the best of the bad job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what I think. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. What was I going to put? So I went out to the Apple Store today with Patrice, because that's his 10th Apple Store now. Still no bands that fit fat bastards. There you go. So that's the nylon strap that I really like, the orange one. I've got a shirt the same colour as that, which I would have looked really cool in that if I'd got it, but I can't because it doesn't fit.
You got one more hole. There's one more hole there.
Yeah, thanks, man. That makes me feel so much better.
You could loosen it up a little bit.
I've lost 10 kilos in weight in the last few weeks, and I still can't get the sodding watch bands to fit. I think it's I'm just big boned. I was dead impressed with this. This was the layout of the watch straps. So you can see all the watch straps. They're all 38 mils on the right and then 42 mils on the left there. But every single one of those watch straps, you can pick up and you can put it on your watch to see what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was awesome. Very trusting of them, admittedly. But they'd even got the middle and these loops there. And you could put them on. And the other thing I was dead impressed with, so that's where you buy the buy your cases for your iPhones. And when you find the one you want, you just slide open the drawer and there's a whole pile in there. You just pull one out.
Yeah,
that's part of the new design.
Yeah, that's the first time I've seen that. I was really impressed with that. I thought that was really cool. For all those people that write and say they want to do slag Apple off, bollocks, I don't. Kudos where it's due. Angela, if she's had anything to do with that.
I think you can take those cases off the wall too and try them on your device.
You can pull them off the forms and then you can put them on your device, see what they look like, and then you put them back on and you pull out the one that you want to buy. I was dead impressed. I thought it was a great experience today. Really enjoyed it. Especially the watch straps, apart from none of the bastard things fit me.
So. Yeah. And I mean, you asked for whether there are any bigger ones, but they only have black.
But you only get them in black, yeah. That's the thing.
Made by Ford.
Fuller body. In FB.
Tim did give you the, the activity app.
What do you mean? What?
Being a bastard.
That's okay. I'm not used to it. But thank you. That's cool. I've got a good view for the big show. That's
maybe it's their subtle way of saying sending a message.
Lose weight, you fat kid.
Well, I think it totally was when I first got my Apple Watch and it started telling me frequently, "You need to stand up." I felt like it really was Apple just kind of realizing what my situation and maybe a lot of developers was like, and the people that were first going to get the Apple Watch. It actually did change my habits, though.
Yeah,
so I find that wonderful.
Yeah, no, I do. I am bothered about consuming my calorific intake thing. I like looking down at me watch and seeing me seeing Jeff's rings full.
I'm the lucky guy that I have Don on my thing, so like every day.
Are you
like,
following Don's ring?
Oh man, every day.
Really?
He's on a streak of like I don't think he, because he has that walking treadmill desk, right?
Oh yeah.
Don, so he hits his goals every day, and I get notified every morning when I wake up.
Don's ring is on a streak.
Earned another badge.
Don's I gotta show it. Don's ring. Is on a streak.
You know that will be shortened to Don's rings.
Don's rings.
So after Jeff's rings, we have Don's rings.
I still can't find Jeff's ring.
No?
Right back to the launch and we couldn't find Jeff's ring. No, still not happening. Now I've noticed, Brett, in your background there, look. Is that an Airport Extreme wearing away on the cabinet behind you?
Yes.
Yeah. Dude, you're not going to get one of those anymore.
I know. But fortunately, I have one of those really fancy Logitech. I got a review unit with the four antennas and the DDR firmware. I'll be all right.
So you're going to keep the review unit stuff?
Well, yeah. They basically...
They bought your good review.
I didn't actually review it, so I feel like that's ethical.
That's ethical. Don't know about that.
That works.
Yeah, I got to be cool with that. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Did you put a review up? No, I can't because then I'd have to return it.
Which I think is it. I absolutely would feel obligated to.
Yeah, but. And that wouldn't be right of me to do that, would it? because you're not getting it back. I got a Ring doorbell, and the review I've got said that they're going to have to get a court order to get this back off me. Because I love it.
Yeah, but about the airports, I mean...
Oh, all right, sorry, Patrice. Patrice is bored with this. Go on, sorry, mate, carry on.
I would say it's about time. I mean, there are way better, wireless access points and all of that out there. It's not, back when Apple introduced them and we literally didn't have anything good or even usable.
Well, there wasn't anything.
At some point.
Really?
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, yeah.
It's true.
Do you know when you guys know when the airport was released, right?
Oh, go on.
What's that? Early 2000s?
It was announced along with the original iBook, you know, the toilet seat handle one.
Wow. Okay.
And it was one of the first things to have Wi-Fi.
Okay, that's okay, really long time ago.
I'm not going to take the piss anymore.
If I'm remembering my history right, and I think I am.
Yeah.
No,
so no. Steve Jobs did this whole hula hoop thing, if I remember, where he's like passing the MacBook or iBook. I'm saying MacBook. It was an iBook. iBook through like this hula hoop, you know? Like, look, there's no wires. And I'm on the internet, you know, running Internet Explorer.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's when they had done the deal with Microsoft and they had to pre-bundle IE on every Mac under iOS 9, right?
The last version of IE that ran on a Mac, yeah.
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 So, because I mean, the thing that always got me about this, because I had the airport, the big one, the one that looked like the original Apple TV.
Extreme.
Like, the Extreme, yeah. Yeah. I had the original one of those. And it worked beautifully. When it ran beautifully. But then I'd get a phone call from the missus going, the light's gone amber on the front of the Apple thing. What do I do? And I'm like, I'm away. There's nothing I can do. You just need to update the stuff. Because it was just like, I can't believe it stopped being able to send out an internet signal for some reason just because it needed a frigging update. But it did. And that's the way Finder you know works. Apple stuff seems to get to a problem and go, I've got to stop, rather than just going, look, I'll carry on doing what I was doing and then fix me when you get a chance, will you?
Yeah.
I have never had issues like that with any of the airports.
Yeah, no.
I have switched to them entirely. I own a dozen routers and a dozen various networking contraptions, and it's so easy, and I never have issues. I hear about them all the time.
Yeah.
And I hate networking, so the easiest thing is always going to be my choice.
My mom had one that bricked during an update, so that wasn't fun.
No, okay. But I should point out that if the restaurant is serving raw chicken one night, I'll be the person who gets it. That is... I've got to the stage now that if I'm out shopping with my wife and I want something electronic, I get her to pick it off the shelf, so it's not me. But it's still shit usually when I get it home. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. And Mac Tracker backed me up. I was right. The iBook and the airport were both released in July of 99.
We didn't need that, Adam. We knew you were right. We just knew that because you're the Mac.
But I second-guessed myself.
You are the oldest living podcaster. So... there you go.
The Mac historian. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. Donald Trump has rung Tim and said, I'll give you a shitload of tax exemptions if you start making products in America.
He claimed that Tim called him.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, he told him then.
Yeah. That is what said, but I just want to, which just seemed odd to me, but apparently both Tim and Bill Gates called him. According to him.
Yeah, I doubt that, but it is funny that he originally said, I'm going to increase your tax if you don't do it, and now it's, I'll cut your tax if you do move to America production, but... Yeah.
And Apple is already producing in the US, I mean, the Mac Pro as well.
Yeah,
as
there's
I know.
A long waiting list for a Mac Pro still.
Yeah.
The only thing I take issue with surrounding this topic, and I hate getting any kind of political, but I seem to remember, and I need to go back and find the original article, but, you know, this was talked about, Apple and Tim talked about this, you know, doing production in the U.S., and a common thread that people like to throw out is that if Apple produced products in the U.S., that the prices would go sky high, you know, that we'd be paying, you know, we pay... whatever it is now for the base iPhone unlocked, like $600, we'd be paying you know, double $1,100, $1,200 for the same thing. And Tim already came out publicly and said that that was not the case, you know, that they've looked into it and that's not the case, that really it's more of a workforce issue and more of a workforce issue on finding middle managers and engineers with enough talent and in enough volume would want to take on those jobs to actually do the production here.
Yeah, and you know what wouldn't happen? You wouldn't have any more jobs in the U.S. simply because there is nobody working. I mean, I think Doc made that point. He was in China and saw it, and there is nobody working on the production line. It's all robots.
Well,
and if they move it to the U.S., they would, I mean, probably make sure that it's even more robots, because then, I mean, the cost is probably the same.
That's the same thing with the Mac Pro facility, as far as I understand, is I think that generated like $1,000 or $1,500 jobs, something like that.
Yeah.
Again, I have to go check my facts on that. But it wasn't a ton, you know, it wasn't like what you would think, that there's a bunch of factory workers on the floor and there's a bunch of manufacturing jobs that were created. It is more higher level jobs that are created for people who are working on the machines, people who need to manage the factory floors and things like that. And again, that goes back to Tim Cook's statements about we need, you know, like trained people, and we can find those people in Asia much more readily than we can in the US.
Yep.
Well, I did work in Grand Rapids many years ago for Siemens. And there was a need to build like a little staging area to put some stuff on for the stuff I was doing. And I said, well, have you got some Dexian? Because you're in the middle of Midwest America here. Dexian must have a place in Grand Rapids, I'm sure. We'll go and get some Dexian. We'll build it in a heartbeat. No. You need to do a drawing. And then overnight, the union will make sure that someone builds it out of wood. And then you can use it tomorrow. And I'm like, well, what if it's the wrong size or it wants changing, or I've got one of the dimensions wrong in the drawing? Then we'll fix it tomorrow night. And it's like, you're kidding me. And why on earth would any firm want to bring something to a unionized, to that degree unionized? I don't mind unions. I think unions are great. They protect people and they keep people's jobs and stop employers taking the piss out of them.
Yeah.
But when they get to that kind of level of control in a corporation, that is ridiculous. And why is Apple going to move back from a free trade organization like China back into a heavily unionized workplace in the US? They're never going to do it. Not in a million years. I've killed the mood there. Sorry, guys.
I am trying really hard to refrain from going into politics. Right. So I'm biting my tongue.
Yeah.
Slippery slope.
No, we don't. We can do that story without saying Trump's a wanker. It's fine.
Yeah. And just from a corporate perspective, I mean, Apple is making so much money outside of the U.S. So, I mean, what would the benefit be for them?
That's the problem, is they can't bring it back. That's what's really
killing. Sure. But I mean, just looking at the production, what would be the benefit for Apple to do that? To produce the iPhones in the U.S. and then ship them to, I don't know, Europe or Asia?
Don't underestimate the power of getting some of the bucks back into the homeland. That's what they want.
The other huge challenge, so even if all of this, you know, let's just play fantasy world for a minute and imagine that Apple says, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to, for whatever reasons, right? We're going to build iPhones in the U.S. The bigger problem that they have, and I think this is a very valid point, is the logistical challenge of the fact that they're going to do, that we're talking about manufacturing, you know, assembly of the phones. Well, all the other parts are coming out of Taiwan and China and Vietnam. They're all geographically in a certain region. And we know when Apple gets into production, how quickly they need to get parts and things from one place to another. Can you imagine if they all have to be coming over here? What that's going to do to production timelines and things like the logistics of it just don't make sense.
Certain parts, certain parts actually come from the U.S. right now.
Yeah, some chips, but I mean, displays and control chips, and like, I mean, the number of parts that are right there, and if Apple needs to change a supplier, it's like the building next door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's like literally the logistics of it just don't work out for moving to the U.S. either. I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't ever happen, but so many things would have to change. We're talking about, you know, and maybe 10 years from now.
And changing
it's not going to happen, you know, the minute that guy gets into office. It's not going to happen the next year. It's not going to happen in the first 100 days.
Well, he'll be impeached before they get a black bill.
No, and I mean, changing on a scale, that is also crazy. I mean, how many...
Keep talking.
Okay.
Pretend nothing happened and then no one will know. Now you've said something.
Yeah, okay. I mean, just how many iPhones is Apple selling in a year?
Right.
I mean, just imagine changing,
less than last year,
changing
apparently,
that.
According to one story.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not saying it's never not... You know, it's never going to happen or things won't change. But, you know, if it does, it's going to be very, very slowly over a very, very long time.
Mm. Yeah.
And last story then, let's talk about Apple's great Black Friday deals.
But not all at once.
I thought we covered that well.
Okay. Yeah.
I totally messed it up. Sorry.
It's all right.
I'll have to do a little editing.
Just took the sound. There we go. Yeah, fine. I'll edit. It'll be good.
Yeah, you won't edit.
I gave him direction to say nothing and he couldn't get it right. Jesus. It's all right. I'm joking. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. They're awesome. They give us a live server so we can stream out. They pick up all the bandwidth. They give us unlimited space on our server so we can post as much shit as we like, and we have over the years. We've actually posted an inordinate amount of crap on their servers and people still listen to it, which I find amazing. Thank you to those people who do and those people that write in with reviews, and I'm going to prove this evening as well on the big show, because we've had a review on the big show, that I read out all the reviews no matter what they say, because he's told me that he wants me to read this out. So I've got no choice. We'd be lost without them. So go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 if you just want to sign into your account, and then we get the kudos for it. Or go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors. And then on there, you'll find all the UK2 offer codes that will get you tons off your basket. And also thanks to Hoya, who they bought us one of the machines for the Skype ball when we revamped it all. They've been a wonderful, wonderful supporter of the network. We'll keep watching this space, because there's only a month to go till it's after Christmas-ish. And you get the new Uniku frames, and you get to see me having my face measured, and it'll be awesome. But in the meantime, if you think, well, I don't want that, I don't want the frames, I like the stuff that you've got on you, and the Hoya Avantech that I've got, are you going to put glasses on there for a minute?
No, we're measuring your head.
Yeah, measuring your head.
Right, okay. But according to some of the reviews I've got, it's rather large. if you want the Avantech glasses, then you can get these. Just send an email to podcast@hoya.co.uk and ask them where you can get it done. And if you're listening in any other part of the world, doesn't matter, still send it to podcast@hoya.co.uk and say, I want to know where my local rep is, where my local supplier is, and Mark will sort it out for you, and they'll have a Hoya rep there doing the whole facial measurement thing. And with the iPad, it's awesome. Go back to June, I think, of last year and have a watch of that episode, because it was absolutely brilliant. That made me doorbell. Sorry about that, chaps. Didn't put that on mute then. Oops. Right, Brett, we haven't told you about this, mate. It's time for the cool thing. And the cool thing is you just pick something. Now, I know you've got two yoga mats, but it's got to be Apple-related. Okay, so...
I feel like some heads up on that would have been great.
I should have said, it's my fault entirely. We'll come to you last, and if you got nothing, it's still cool. Don't worry about
it. I'll come up with something. Okay. I'm fast with that.
Yeah. I have a cool thing that I can.
You're
going to
start us off, though, Adam.
I'm kind of curious about.
Spin it out, though, because Patrice is struggling.
No, I got something.
I was trying to come up with mine, but I think I've got it.
Go for it, mate. What have you got?
And I don't think I've picked this, or if I have picked this, it's been a long time. So, I, you know, as many people know, I work from home, I do contract work, and I have stuff to do, and I need to bill for that stuff. And there is a great app from the folks over at Market Circle called Billings Pro that I use for doing all my time tracking and invoices and those sorts of things.
All right.
It is a monthly service that I pay for. It is $5 a month, I think is what I pay. And it is well worth it. I'm on the professional plan. So it's $99 a year, but it gives me unlimited invoices, unlimited estimates, statements, projects. I kind of track everything through it. It allows me to put together estimates. I can take prepayments and keep track of all of those. They have
time tracking on the Apple Watch.
Huh?
Time tracking, yes, on the Apple Watch.
It's on, yeah, they've got Apple Watch apps. They've got, you know, everything's integrated with iOS. And I can literally be, and I've done this many, many times, write at a client. They're like, can you give me an invoice? Sure. Just write it up right on my iPhone, email it to them. And it has saved my life because I was really, really bad at doing that stuff, to be honest. I think a lot of people who are self-employed, it's one of the challenges you have is like sort of making sure that you're keeping track. There's a, you know, one thing that works out really well for me is there's a little menu bar item. So when I'm starting something, it's easy for me to remember because I see it sitting right there. Oh yeah, turn on the time tracker and make sure that you're keeping track of your hours and stuff like that. And it's just, it's a great app. I used to use what was called iWork until Apple bought the name from them, but another app called iBiz from IG Software, and they stopped making it, and I transitioned to Billings Pro and have never looked back, and it is a great app. And so if you're doing anything where you need to keep track of time and do billing and invoicing and want a native Mac app to do that with, a native Mac and iOS app, look at Billings Pro.
Good man. Like that.
From Market Circle.
I'm terrible for doing stuff for customers and then not remembering when I did it. And I started making notes in iCal.
It's the best $100 a year I have invested in my business because I got that back probably immediately when I tracked my hours accurately. Mm. Like first day.
Yeah. Are you billing more though now?
Am I billing more?
Yeah.
I'm billing more for my actual time. Yeah. If that makes sense. Like I'm getting paid for the actual hours that I'm working as opposed to like giving away hours for free. Yeah.
Yeah. No. The customers won't like it then.
Actually, I think the customers have been happy because the other dilemma I would have is they'd be like, are you going to send me that bill? It's like, I was bad at that. I'm telling you. You know,
and I
it
mean,
was
you
bad
can...
for my business.
You could tell your customers what you actually did instead of saying, I did something.
Right. Yeah. They tend to like that, you know, when you can account for your hours and they know when you were working. And
I just build what I think I can get away with.
Maybe.
By the way, just if any of my customers are listening to the show, that's a lie, by the way, and said for pure effect, no reason. It's not the truth. Okay. Jesus. Just to anyone actually who occasionally writes in and calls me a complete tosspot, I do say things just for the purposes of entertainment and getting a discussion going. Right, Patrice, you're next.
Yeah, I'm going to pick an app from Microsoft actually, which is pretty good.
Watch it's your called, mouth out.
Yeah, on the Mac show, but it's a really great app available at least on iOS. I have no idea where else it's available. I don't care. It's called Office Lens. And it's a really cool document/whiteboard scanner app. And what it does is, I mean, you just take, or receipts, for example, you just take a picture of it and it will straighten it out, clean it up and all of that. It's really handy, especially for whiteboards. That's where I'm mostly using it for. And it's free. So go get it. And you can export it to, well, all Microsoft apps and then also PDF and photos and I think Dropbox or OneDrive or something like that.
So the thing that's quite interesting here is that you've taken a picture of a whiteboard that's askew.
Yeah.
And it automatically
de-skews
it.
Yeah, de-skews it, straightens it, cleans it up. I mean, any noise you might have on the whiteboard, anything that is not really text or...
Oh, that's good.
It's really good.
That is good, because I mean, there's a lot of time I sit down with customers and we'll try and map out a storyboard of some description of what to do. And I end up taking a picture of the board and the board's too big or you can't read stuff or something like that. And that you're saying this will fix that?
This will fix it.
Right. Sold. And it's free.
It's free. So what else can you want?
Double sold. I like that. That's a good pick, mate. That's going to be my pick as well.
Next week.
Yeah. Brett, did you find anything, mate?
Yeah. Do you want a great and a pick that fits in with what's already been said, or do you want an awful pick?
You pick what you want to pick, mate. It's your choice entirely. There is no rule here, as long as it's Apple-related.
Man, I want both, but
do both. Go on. Do both.
We'll go with the good one first, because I, of all you guys talking about time tracking, I wanted to mention there's an app for Mac called Timing that I find very... There are multiple versions of this app and by other developers, but I like Timing. It tracks everything you do on your Mac, and you can categorize things. So if you say, if I'm in this application and I open anything in this folder, that's going to be under this client. And it'll start automatically every time you do something for that client. You can make it so that your time is just automatically tracked, and you can go backward and see the history and say, I had these files open for this long. So when it gets down to it and you realize, you know, that you forgot to turn your timer on and that you went double your estimate on hours, you can kind of show progress then without thinking about it.
That's good.
That's nice.
Yeah, the other one, I got to pick JibJab for iOS. It's I can't stop. I'm paying for the pro like subscription now, because I just want to stick all my friends' faces into hilarious videos and then make them watch them.
Is this the iMessage one too?
It has an iMessage app, but it can also export GIFs to Facebook and Twitter, and then you can also save things as video as well.
Yeah,
it's stupid, horrible. It is horrible. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of everyone, not just yours. Like you're it's detrimental to your friends as well. But I can't stop.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Like that. Michael Thing is from Crumple Pop. Now, I don't know if any of you regularly use Final Cut, and you've got some plugins that you bought. There's a lot of third-party plugins you can get for free for Final Cut, which are well worth having if you spent the money on the software. But I've got three from Crumple Pop that I absolutely rely on 100% of the day, and they are perfect. Usually it's for cleaning up audio in a lot of cases. But I've got Audio Dinos is one of them, and Echo Remover. And I did some stuff where I got shoved in a room and they said, right, interview all these guys here. And there was nothing I could do to get rid of the echo. Even on the cardioid that I got, the little lav mic, it just would not stop picking up echo. And I'm like, oh, God, how am I going to salvage this? And I came back to the studio, I'm listening to it, and I'm like, Jesus, I didn't think it would be this bad. And I got the echo remover on, and it was brilliant. It took it right down. It sounded like they were in an anechoic chamber. It was absolutely brilliant. Audio Dinos is good. It's very similar to the noise reduction that you get with Final Cut anyway. But I've got a picture of Brett up. Well, I've got a picture of Brett up. Sorry. it's very similar to... It's very similar to the way that noise reduction is done in Final Cut, but it's a lot more variability and a lot more control over it. And the other one I've got is Better Stabilizer, which is like the stabilizing software that you get in there, but it's just a little bit more in certain circumstances, especially if you're talking about movement, when you're moving with the camera, it's far better than the stabilizer in Final Cut. They're not cheap. They're about $99 each, but they're the best $300 that you'll spend, no question. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Adam?
You can find me over at maccast.com or Maccast on iTunes, and pretty much Maccast on any social media. And you can also check out the iOS show at theiosshow.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. Brett, where can everyone get a hold of you?
I write at brettterpstra.com, and I am TT Scoff everywhere else. You can also find my podcasts at esn.fm, Systematic and Overtired with Christina Warren. But TT Scoff will pretty much find me anywhere.
Excellent, mate. And thank you for coming on. It's been great having you. I hope you'll come back.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been fun.
It's always this time now. We've moved it to Fridays, so more people realise that it's Friday eventually, I think. There's a few people crept in the chat room while we were talking. But if you're available at this time on a Friday, then you'll always be welcome, mate.
Sounds great.
Patrice, where can everyone get a hold of you, apart from shoveling curry in your face in about half an hour's time?
Exactly. Well, as always, almost every week here on The Mac Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent. Great to have you in the studio. Love having people in the studio. If you want to come down and join us in the studio for any of the shows, all you got to do is get your ass here. That's it. It's that simple. We'll let you in. You can have a curry with us beforehand. So we've got Mac Show at 4, then curry, then we'll have Big Show at 8. Simple as that. Dead easy. Yep, and you can join in as well, as Graham did the other week. With a gallon of Guinness in him. Well done, mate. You were excellent. I've had rave reviews from people saying how good you were. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Stop by, come and see us. If you want to get in the Slack room, send us an email and we'll add you to the Slack room. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.